Welcome to the Develop Yourself podcast, featuring my dad, the best coder ever.
You know what really boils my potato as a software developer? Boot camps that don't teach unit testing. I don't know why. Why don't they teach this thing? No clue. But one of the biggest complaints I get from people that graduated from a boot camp is that they had no clue how to write unit tests. Of course we do this at Parsity. Of course we do. I mean, why wouldn't we? But you may be thinking, wait, what are unit tests? Why should I write them? How do I even get started? They require a big mental shift. And if you don't even want to listen to this episode, hey, just go down to the show notes, grab the unit testing free course. I promise you it's going to get you further than watching a bunch of YouTube videos. It's really quick stuff. It's hands-on. It's going to get you to where you need to be. So if you're out of here by this point, hey, totally fine. Grab it. Have fun with it. This is going to be a pretty short episode. I really just wanted an excuse to give you this cool thing and help you out along your coding journey, because I know a lot of mid-level and senior developers that don't know how to write unit tests either. And it's important for a few reasons, which we're going to go into. First, why do you want to write them? What are unit tests? So unit tests are a way to test code through other code to make sure that the functionality that you expect works the way you intended it to. For example, let's take a really trivial function that you might write in JavaScript or some other programming language. You write a function that accepts a string, and it's supposed to see if that string is a palindrome. So is it spelled the same way forwards as backwards? Think Taco Cat. Think Bob. Think, I don't know, whatever other palindromes you can think of out there. Brain freeze right there. Taco Cat is my favorite. So you have a function, and it will compare the string, and it says, is this string a palindrome? And it'll return yes or no. And you might think, okay, simple, right? You write it. Now, how would you test that that works? You could put in a bunch of different palindromes. What about this scenario? What if you need to not take in the casing of the letters, for example? What if Taco Cat could have a capital O, a lowercase a, and a capital C? Would your function still work? What if you wanted to ignore spaces? So there are different variations of how this should work. And you could keep this in your head, or you could write it in comments and expect that other developers would just follow along and play along, or they could introduce changes that break the expected functionality. And one way to catch that and enforce that the code works the way you expect is through a unit test. So you write some additional code, which will run all sorts of variations and weird arguments through that function, making sure it works as you intended it to. Why is this really important? Because the more complex the code you write, the more chances that it could break. And sometimes you're writing mission-critical software. Think about a pacemaker. Think about credit card transactions. Think about hitting the submit button on a site like Airbnb where you want to reserve a house or something like that. Imagine if you press that button 5 times in a row. What's going to prevent that from just, you know, getting 5 rooms or something like that? People would really be upset, right, if they pressed the button and that happened. So to avoid these kind of mistakes and to make sure that the code that we write does what we want it to do, we write tests to do it. Have I sold you yet? Have I sold you on this? You might be thinking, whoa, I got to write more code to do it. Even if you don't see the benefit yet, here's some other reasons you just want to learn how to write unit tests. It's basically an expectation in the industry, especially nowadays. Really, every company that takes software seriously, or even the places that generally didn't used to do this, they're starting to adopt this testing approach. And it's just kind of expected that you have some sort of automated tests happening nowadays, whether that is literally an automated test that runs every time the code is deployed and goes out to the web. But more often, we have a lot of unit tests where developers are expected to write code that tests what they've written. This is just an industry standard, which is even more mind-blowing that most boot camps just kind of skip it, but I get it. Like, I don't want to just rag on all boot camps that don't teach it because we don't teach things that maybe other people feel like are really important. I would disagree, but we do teach unit testing, and we actually have a full course on it as a bonus that teaches you even more modern unit testing practices, but really requires this mental shift to just understand that, yes, when you write code, you should expect that people are going to use it in weird ways, right? Imagine your users have all thumbs for their fingers, and they're just going ham on your application. You want to expect that they're going to do unexpected stuff, and you need to test against it. So even if you don't care about writing unit tests, or maybe you don't even care about the quality of the program you're writing, if you're on the market as a developer and you want to get hired, you want to increase your hireability, you're going to need to write unit tests. Feel really strongly about that one. That's why I made this thing free for you to take in the show notes so you can get started. And let me tell you a little story. I was working at a company where we had zero unit tests. We were writing software for pretty critical stuff, right? This was internal software that the company would use for refunds and financial things like that. We had a QA team. So the QA team, quality assurance team. What they would do is they would run a set of scenarios over the code we wrote. They would get the app. They would use it in a test environment. And they would check it out to make sure we didn't break anything. So I had this really complex scenario where I had to take in a variety of factors to understand whether or not we could give somebody a refund. And the problem was it was working for like all scenarios but one. So imagine there's like literally 20 scenarios to test. So this young woman at the job would take what I had written. I'd say, okay, I'm done. Check it out. She'd run through 20 scenarios and be like, you know what? Still not working. This one's now not working. And so we'd go back and forth and back and forth. We did this for literally days. We ran these tests a dozen times, let's say, taking hours, because imagine how time intensive that is to manually test a dozen scenarios. Not efficient at all. If we had unit tests, a way where we could have written these out in code and decided we're going to test all these different parameters, we're going to send them into the functions that you're using, and we're going to test the output. We're going to give all these functions an input, and we're going to test the output. Now we have a very simple way to test input versus output without clicking a bunch of buttons on a screen, because the code you write is generally functions that have an input and an output. The problem is when you put them behind a UI, you have to have a user clicking on a button, going to this page, going to that page. And so if you can automate that, you can really quickly test things and give you a lot more confidence about the code that you ship. And that's important as well, right? Because when you ship code out there, you might be thinking, wait, did I test every scenario? What if I forgot something? What if something blows up? It will. Don't worry. It'll blow up. And then you'll be sitting there thinking, I wish I had just tested that one thing, right? So that's why we write tests. That's why all companies, the majority of them, are going to expect you to write tests, which is such a weird thing, right? You walk in there, you pass the interview, you get the offer, you walk on, and then they say, cool, here's your first assignment. Do this, you know, little task. Oh, yeah, and write a unit test. And you're like, wait, I've never written a unit test. So there you are bumbling around on your first day or first week, not only trying to figure out everything else, but then you're having to also learn this completely new skill, which is wild, right? I mean, I've had this same experience. I went to a place after working for 2 years and I had to write my first unit test and I was just stuck. It took me longer to write the unit test than it took to write the code. So you don't want to be in that position. You want to learn this stuff before you even get that far. Also, big tip here, don't skip this one. If you're going to skip anything else, don't skip this. When you get the dreaded take-home exam, I say dreaded because I'm not a fan of these. Some people are. So here's how most junior jobs or most developer jobs in general are going to test you. You're not going to likely get an algorithm and data structure question. That is not the most likely scenario. Based on my conversations with literally hundreds of developers, and we have a few developers that I'm working with right now that are in the interview stages, some at Parsity, and some are just other people that I've known, grown to know over the years from like LinkedIn. I ask them, you know, how's your interviews going? What they usually get is a variation of a take-home. So the company will give you a set of instructions and they'll say, build this application and deploy it and send us the link to the code or the link to the where it's been deployed. And we'll let you know whether it's, you know, passes our criteria for hiring you. And often it's a black box, meaning you don't know how they're going to grade this thing. It always takes way longer than it's supposed to. I'm against these because it feels like it's basically asking somebody for free labor. And having a person spend like 8 hours of their day just to build something that you don't really get any feedback on, I really, really don't like it. I also know it's reality. I also know that a lot of people prefer this. They prefer this rather than going and coding in front of somebody, which leads me to that's the other most likely type of interview you'll get is coding something in front of somebody else. They'll say, let's build a React component that fetches some data and displays it on the screen. And let's maybe write a unit test for it. Or we have some unit tests that need to pass in order for you to move forward. It's another very typical scenario. So the way you beat this, the take-home exam at least, the way you beat that take-home exam is by adding a unit test. Adding a unit test is going to make you stand out because, again, the majority of bootcamp grads do not know how to write them. So if you're on that take-home exam, you need to have good documentation, but more importantly, the testing. I had a mentee in the past do this. I said, you need to add a test to this mediocre code, you know, fairly mediocre. And I'm like, okay, this is okay. I'm not going to blow anybody's mind here, but that's not the point. We don't need to write the sexiest code in the world to get to the interview stage. I said, write a test, write a few tests. He did. He went on to the final rounds, got the job. When he asked them, you know, out of all the candidates, what made you go forward with me? They said, well, you know, to be honest, you were one of the only people that wrote a unit test. Boom, there we go. I've also been on the other end of the table as a hiring manager and looking through people that have take homes and other code they submitted. And when they have a unit test, immediately I'm thinking, oh yeah, we got to bring this person in. There we go. Have I sold you? Yes, hopefully. Grab the unit test course in the show notes. Do your first unit test. There's tons of resources out there. The libraries I like using the most are Jest, React Testing Library, Vite, spelled V-I-T-E, and what else? Mocha, Chai. There's SuperTest. And in the examples that I'll show you in the show notes, it's using Jest in JavaScript. And if you don't know enough to do those yet, don't worry. You should probably join us at dev30.xyz. Hopefully that was helpful, and I'll see you around. That'll do it for today's episode of the Develop Yourself podcast. To learn more about becoming a software engineer with us, then check out Parsity.io. If you're not quite ready for that, then jump into our Dev30.xyz program, which is 30 days of working on your mindset, habits, and JavaScript skills. Totally worth it. See you next week.